Welcome to Beyond the Bridge, a Star Trek multiverse podcast. I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Sam Rizzo. Sam, how's it going?
How's it going, Adam?
It's going great, and this is a brand new podcast on my network, which is ever-expanding, it seems. It's like the Avengers, when the Avengers first started. It started with Iron Man and then just ballooned with 20,000 heroes, but that's like my podcast network. I've always wanted to start a Star Trek podcast, and Sam and I had talked about it years ago, I think it was. But there's a very particular reason why today was the day, and it's not just because we're all in isolation, although that's part of it. But there was a big announcement today, Sam, and that is that CBS and CBS All Access have greenlit and went straight to series with a new live-action Star Trek series, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and it is going to star Anson Mount as Captain Pike. It's going to have Rebecca Romijn as his number one, and it's going to bring back Gregory Peck as Spock. And of course, they are going to be reprising their roles that we first saw on season two of Star Trek Discovery. Sam, your initial, before I get into some of the premise that we do know, which is very little, but before I get into any of that, what is your initial reaction to this news?
Well, to be honest with you, this is what I wanted to see all along. I wanted to see a Captain Pike and Spock and Number One series, because they were the best things about season two of Star Trek Discovery. Especially after that first season of, we're not going to go into that first season today.
Yeah, I know. When I do Discovery, I'm going to have to find a revolving co-host because Sam's not a fan. But,
yeah. He was the best thing about season two, Anson Mount's Captain Pike, because he embodied everything that we love about Star Trek and what it means to be a captain in Starfleet. He brought that in spades, especially after the first season where the captain's chair was a revolving door, so to speak. So he kind of stabilized the captain's status in that second season of Discovery. And Ethan Peck, I wasn't a big fan of emo Spock in season two of Discovery, but when he walked out onto the bridge at the end of the season two finale and was in the traditional uniform, well, the 25% different traditional uniform, I thought he was fantastic. So I really like Rebecca Romijn as number one. So I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I'm in a little different position than Sam in that I enjoy Discovery. But we'll get into our fandom in a second overall. But yeah, so we're in a slightly different place there. But, you know, I think where Sam and I can agree is that those three characters really did steal the show in season two. And I just think that, you know, Anson Mount as Captain Pike really, really shone. And I think he brought a sense of confidence and calm, but also assertiveness when he needed to be, to the captaincy of not only Discovery, but also, you know, to the character of Pike, who, let's be honest, you know, in the original series, we didn't see much of.
Everybody knows, yeah, he was a tragic hero, a very tragic, right? You know, and we got to see that in this, and selfless. That's what I describe his Captain Pike is, selfless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But he just like the actor himself has that, you know, that presence about him that the experience kind of thing. I guess maybe it's the graying hair now that's adding to that. But, you know, he's got that air of confidence and, you know, he's somebody that commands respect, but can also, you know, there were scenes where he would, you know, counsel Michael in a very, I don't know if this is the right word, but a very parental way. You know what I mean?
Like a father figure. Like a father figure.
There's so many different facets to his personality that I think not only are befitting of somebody that's playing a Star Trek captain, but also, you know, just fleshing out the character of Pike from the very limited aspects of him we saw in the original series and so forth, and then in JJ's reboot series. So I loved him in the role, and I think, you know, Gregory Peck, first of all, if you're related to Ethan Peck, not Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck is the one he's related to. If you're related to Gregory Peck, you've got some pedigree to you. So, but what I like about Ethan Peck is that I think, you know, Spock as a character is one of those types of characters that was played so well by the originator that anybody following that has a tough task to sort of not only fill the role, but also try and do something that makes the role their own as well. You know, there's that balance that you have to strike. It's very much like Superman in the sense that, you know, I know Christopher Reeve wasn't the first, but he sort of set a standard. And then everybody since has been trying to not only fill those boots, but also, you know, find their own space. And I think Gregory Peck found that space in season two. And I think, I know you weren't a fan of the emo Spock, as you call them, but I think that helped kind of, you know, sort of get it, allowed to me, I think, a lot of audiences to start getting used to him in the role, and then you saw the character progression through having to play that iteration of Spock. So there was character progression there, and you could grow with the character in obviously a limited amount of time, whereas if he had showed up straight away trying to do a Leonard Nimoy imitation, there would have been a lot more unfavorable comparisons in doing that. So I think, but he really, like I said, he channeled the past, but also found a way to bring a breath of fresh air to the part. And so I was really fond of him there. And look, Rebecca Romijn, to me, I loved her as Mystique in the X-Men franchise. I don't know what it is about the cross-pollination between X-Men and Star Trek, but there's something there. And I also loved her as the voice of Lois Lane, so in the animated DC movies of late. And also, I know most of the listeners to my podcast network know that I have a multiverse wives list. And so I would venture to say that Rebecca Romijn is on that list. Sorry, Jerry O'Connell.
Whoa. You have a what? Just, what is that?
Yeah, see, you should be listening to more of my podcasts. So I have what basically is that what called? It is, Sam.
Wait.
Especially now that we're in self-isolation. Shame on you. I may fire you right after this podcast. No, I'm kidding. But no, so the multiverse wives list is basically all the beautiful ladies in these forms of entertainment that I'm attracted to. So I have this theory that there are many different Earths, and I exist on each one of them. And in those Earths, on all those particular Earths, I'm married to one of these women. So there's different, you know, and I have numbers ascribed to them, and it's a whole system. I'm coming up with a list that I'm probably going to reveal over all the different podcasts through the course of the summer. So I'm working on that, but she's definitely on the list. So I'm happy. But she did a good job as number one. You know, my her being on my list aside, she did a very good job in the role, and I thought she fit right in. And not once when I was watching was I distracted by, you know, there's Mystique or there's the voice of Lois Lane. I really just bought into her as that character. So, look, overall, you know, the three main leads I already really like. That era, you know, that, if you will, of Trek is one that I really, really enjoy. And so the little bit that we do know about the series is that, let me just pull some of it up here. It says that we basically, the series basically takes place 10 years before Kirk assumes captaincy. So,
interesting.
We basically, if all goes well, we could have a Smallville type of run here where this thing lasts 10 seasons. Because they gave themselves a 10-year window. You know, the producers are you know, the typical crew that is now involved with Star Trek on CBS All Access, which is Alex Kurtzman, and I believe showrunner, from what I understand, is going to be, or at least heavily involved as another producer, is Akiva Goldsman. Now, that name does two things to me. Well, one side of my brain, it makes me cringe,
yeah,
because I think of Batman and Robin.
Right.
But then on the other side, you know, I really do enjoy what Akiva Goldsman's done in terms of, you know, stuff like Titans, right, on the DC Universe. He's got good stuff in it. Obviously, you know, he wrote, he did write, he is an Oscar winner, so he's definitely talented. It's just that nightmare that is Batman and Robin. You know, unfortunately, it scarred me for life, and I'm in the process of trying to get that repaired. But who knows? I'm gonna choose to say that I'm gonna, you know, look at his work on A Beautiful Mind and Titans, and I hope that's the Akiva Goldsman that shows up. I mean, if the Star Trek universe all of a sudden have, you know, added nipples on the thing, then I might start getting worried. But
on the uniforms, my god!
I mean, you know, like purposely added. That would be, I mean, is Joel Schumacher coming out of retirement to direct an episode?
Oh, please, that'll help us all. Please don't say that. Don't say that.
But you know, the thing that gives me confidence with him is, you know, he's in his quotations, he talked about how he always envisioned himself as when he was a child, you know, or younger, envisioned himself on the crew of the Enterprise. So, you know, there is a love of the franchise for him. So, you know, that is encouraging, in my opinion. But also, you know, a lot of the quotations in the article stress that, you know, CBS was really listening to the fan responses on this one, and it basically came about because of the fan response to these characters. So, you know, fans, in this case, pat yourself on the back and look, there was no hashtag needed, there was no petitions. You just you know, voiced yourselves in positive and respectful ways, and look what we got out of it. So
I'm really looking forward to this. As a lifelong Trek fan, I am really looking forward to this, and I hope I know I'm gonna get some crap for this. I hope they start telling some Trek stories with heart. That's what I want. Stop ripping off all these other universes like Blade Runner and all that other stuff, and let's get back to telling great Star Trek stories that have a message in them. So I hope with this that they do it, you know.
Speaking of Trek stories, that's a good segue. And by the way, first of all, before we get into that segue, I'll just point out that we have no idea when to expect this thing, because obviously we're all in self-isolation, and there are no projects in the U.S. and Canada shooting right now. So again, we have no idea when to expect this thing. That wasn't said, but it is coming. So that's the positive to take away from that.
We'll see you in 2 years. That's basically what that is. And we all know CBS loves to announce stuff 5-6 years in advance. So yeah,
could be. I mean, could be. But you know, we'll be podcasting in between then. So right. It's not going to be a 2 year. It's not going to be just this episode and then all right, we're back in 2 years with the show. But
we'll see. We'll see you for the Section 31 series that we were promised.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Who knows which one is coming when? But we'll keep you updated in our news segments when we get news, like we had today. So, speaking of Star Trek stories and specifically our fandom, so Sam,
yeah,
tell the listeners, when did you become aware and involved as a fan of Star Trek? The first question I have for you.
Wow, that is, it's just like Star Trek has always been in my veins. Like, I mean, my father, if it wasn't...
So he's a Vulcan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no. I bleed green. So, I think my first exposure to Star Trek was not the original series. Definitely not the original series. I think my first exposure to Trek was Leonard Nimoy's Star Trek IV. Because I remember seeing it as a young toddler... And the probe, you know how it makes that sound, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, that freaked me out as a kid. I would have nightmares about it. I know it's so pedantic and so sad, but like that thing scared the crap out of me as a kid. And I always loved, like as I got older, I always loved the camaraderie between DeForest Kelly, Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner, the triangle, the trinity, as Trek fans, you know, have come to call it over the years.
So which one was the Wonder Woman of that group?
DeForest Kelly. No, okay. Just joking. But no, I think my first exposure to Trek was definitely Star Trek IV, and I remember going to see Star Trek V, what was it, 1989? Because that was the summer of sequels, if I recall. Yeah. It was Ghostbusters 2. It was, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I said Ghostbusters 2, right?
Yeah, Batman was the only, I think, was one of the only original non-sequel titles that I can recall, anyway.
Right. Karate Kid 3.
It's been a long time since 1989.
I remember Karate Kid 3 coming out. I went to go see that. Those two movies got me hooked into the world of Trek. And then after that, I mean, I got into Next Generation with the best of both worlds. Two great episodes. Every Trek fan loves those two episodes. Trying to think what else. Voyager. I remember being a kid and watching Voyager on UPN when they first announced it. And really got into Voyager. I think I've gone through Voyager about several times on Netflix and CBS.
Oh, good. Get ready to go through it again. Well, not right now because we still have a lot of catching up to, but eventually, yeah.
But and I remember being, you know, when they handed the baton off to Next Gen with Star Trek Generations, and I remember going to see that. This was one of the biggest blunders I feel in Trek history. Was going to see that movie and them killing Kirk off the way they did, you know, the bridge on the captain, was just such a meaningless death for a guy that carried a franchise for 50 years. I think it was close to 50 years by then. And I just feel like he needed a better send-off, if you ask me. So I feel like that was one of the biggest blunders in the original prime timeline of Trek was that. Right. And I remember walking out of the theater with my dad and my younger brother, and we got in the car and we're driving home, and I'll never forget this. My dad starting to tear up, and I started to tear up because Kirk was our hero. Like Captain Kirk was my childhood hero. And to see him basically kind of discard it in a very, you know, sad way was, you know, he's the captain. He's the captain and deserved a better send off, if you ask me. And here's a shameless Shatner plug. If anybody is as disheartened by his death on film, go pick up Star Trek: The Return, his novel he wrote with Judith and Garfield Reeve Stevens. It's fantastic. That should have been a film. It incorporates all these different generations of Trek, from Deep Space Nine to Voyager to the original series and the next gen. And just, it made a great, great book. And yeah, there is some, you know, Shatner ego trips in there, but still, it's great. I love it. So
yeah, it's a really good book, yeah, for sure.
So how about you, Adam? When did you first get into Trek?
For me, I remember watching it with my brother. And so with that being the case, it was definitely next gen. And let's be honest, the reason I was going, my brother used to, the way this used to work, my brother used to, because he's 10 years older than me, he used to raid the fridge and he used to cut up, you know, sausages and cheese and all that stuff. So I used to sit beside him and watch whatever because I just wanted some food. So I wanted to sneak some, you know, get some of the food he was eating. So, you know, it was snack time for me. So, yeah, but he would always watch. I would always remember him watching Next Gen. So I would sit with him and as, you know, as he was watching, I was watching too. And it was just, you know, like I said, the visuals, the, you know, the sights, the sounds, you know, at that young of an age, you really, you don't get, in essence, you know, the intricacies and the themes necessarily of the stories. You're just mainly attracted by the visuals at
the
young
ships,
age.
Man.
I want to be on one of those, right?
I remember getting a bunch of model kits as a kid and putting those together. I had the Blockbuster, they had the blow-up Enterprise. And I remember getting that as a kid from Blockbuster. That was something really, really... I think that was when Star Trek VI came out. They were promoting those with the
yeah, I believe that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was... Like I said, I was just fascinated by the visual aspects of it at that young age. And then, talk about a character sort of scaring you, freaking you out, or something freaking you out. Worf always, when I was younger, scared the crap out of me. Just the way he looked, his, you know, that deep voice that he had, it really freaked me out. Where we, here in Canada, we had this thing. It used to be called, it's a theme park, it used to be called Paramount Canada's Wonderland, and they had, now it's just Canada's Wonderland. They got rid of the Paramount aspect of it. But they used to have Star Trek characters there, right? People dressed up as Star Trek characters. And one time I saw a guy in full Worf kind of gear with the make of the prosthetics and all that. And man, I'm telling you, scared the crap out of me when I was there too. So yeah, he always freaked me out a bit. But as I got older, I think, you know, and then rewatched that series because that was the first one I had seen, so I would, you know, rewatch it. I probably say that might be my, and this will be the next question I ask you, but that I think Next Gen is still my all-time favorite Trek series. There's that, and then the movies. In terms of the movies, I remember seeing most of them via TV.
Okay.
And the one that I remember seeing, the first one that I remember ever seeing of the movies on TV was the one where they go back in time with the whales.
Yeah, that's Star Trek IV. Yeah.
Star Trek IV, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I remember the most in terms of seeing for the first time. As from where the movie perspective, and I kind of agree with your sentiment about the death of Kirk and sort of that being the way they sort of pass the torch.
He should have died on the bridge of the Enterprise for a reason.
Right.
That's his home. That's where, like, the whole line in Star Trek V when they're sitting around the campfire. When he says, "I know I'm going to die alone," yeah, it did foreshadow that death, you know, in Generations. But he should have died with meaning. There should have been some stakes, something behind it, as opposed to originally getting shot in the back, and then they went back and reshot it, and him basically having a bridge collapse on him. So,
right. Yeah. So it's not necessarily the best, you know, way for him to go out, obviously, but... I remember just loving that because it had sort of, you know, a mixing of the classic with the then, you know, current or newer version. And I enjoyed that for that aspect of it. And then the one of my personal favorite, actually, let me ask you this then. So now that I said Next Gen was my all-time favorite Star Trek series,
okay,
what's yours?
Wow. I would have to say Star Trek Voyager, because who doesn't love Jerry Ryan?
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't
love... No argument for me there.
Who doesn't love Jerry Ryan, and who doesn't...
She's also on the list, by the way.
And I just... what I loved about Voyager was it took them out of basically... They were explorers, and I feel like Star Trek of late has become more, let's do the villain of the week, or let's try to replicate Khan. So when they did Voyager, I really liked what they did with Voyager and making them explorers again, and discovering new races and new technologies, and having to deal with the Borg, who we didn't really know all that well up until, you know, the Next Generation, meeting them in Q-Who and seeing them in First Contact. They were this force of nature, and then Star Trek Voyager went and explained what they truly were, and, like, I mean, like Captain Janeway makes an alliance with the Borg Queen So, I mean, they were doing things on Voyager that were really, I thought, were really, really good. And the first female captain with Kate McGrew. And it was just a great, great series. And every one of those characters, like Next Gen, were likable. I don't think there was anyone on Voyager that I didn't really care about. I mean, I loved Robert Picardo as the hologram. B'Elanna Torres. I mean, Tuvok. I love Tuvok. I mean, right. there was a lot of deep, interesting characters on that series, just like Next Generation with Captain Picard and William Riker and Deanna Troi. All these characters that you wanted to know more about as the episodes progressed.
And you know what I liked about Voyager is that I felt that there was a lot of the unknown, in terms of you weren't sure where they were going to go, but also the characters were entering really the unknown.
Right.
More so than the other iterations that I had seen up to that point, because there's with the other crews, there's like a confidence, you know, a certainty kind of, you know what I mean? About, because...
Right. There's a moxie to the right. captain. And to see Captain Janeway struggle in those first 2 years, right. I mean, hell, they had episodes called The Year of Hell, where it was them screwing up one mission after another because they didn't know how to handle it, or they were running out of resources on Voyager and they didn't know how to replenish them. So, yeah. I mean, Voyager did things that the Next Generation and the original series didn't really do, you know?
And then also trying to find their way home was another
aspect
of, you know...
Yeah, there was...
That was unique.
Yeah, there was a couple episodes where they, kind of like my other favorite TV show, Sliders, where they think they're home, but they're really not home, and there's something different about, or there's something that's just off, and they have to go back and, you know, go back on the journey. So, I mean, and even time traveling on Voyager, they did the whole time traveling thing.
Yeah, they did, which I'm a fan of.
With, I mean, it was just a great show, and it explored a lot of things that weren't explored up until that point in Trek canon with the Borg and other races. So,
yeah, so that was a good series. I did enjoy that one as well. So that's a good pick. I also really liked Enterprise. I have a real fondness for Enterprise because, you know, I sort of refer to it as sort of the Batman Begins of Star Trek, if you will, in a way. Also, you know, I really like Scott Bakula as an actor.
I love Scott Bakula. Who does not love Quantum Leap? Seriously.
And yeah, exactly. And again, I think there is a. He's got, you know, similar qualities to Anson Mount as a captain. That, you know, there's similarities there in the way, you know, they maintain themselves and the presence they have, right?
So right. Very diplomatic. Very diplomatic captains.
There's also a kindness and a calm there as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's that badass that has to come out when, you know, in certain situations, right? It has to be there. And so, but again, it was interesting because there were a lot of firsts, right? You get to see, because of the nature of the series, you know.
Right.
You
the Andorians. We got to see the Andorians for the first time. Yeah. We got to see the Klingons on Earth for the first time. We got to see the aftermath of Zefram Cochrane's flight and how that impacted humanity. Like, how many years was it after that flight in Enterprise? I want to say like 10, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know I'm going to get ripped by the Trek fans for not knowing that, but Enterprise for me, I know you liked it. Like you said, Adam, that's your pick. Enterprise for me was a mixed bag. That's how I looked at it. So, I mean, I think I love Scott Bakula. I love Jolene Blaylock, who played T'Pol. I love Connor. I forgot his last name, who plays Trip. He was great.
Yes, yeah, he was good. Yeah.
He's been on a number of shows. Stargate. Atlantis. He was
That's
Michael.
Right, yeah.
He was the bad guy. I think he plays a better bad guy than good guy, though. So.
Yeah, but after years of doing the good guy, he almost, I'm sure he relished playing the villain.
Right. But, yeah, Enterprise, I liked parts of Enterprise. I wish...
Yeah.
I just wish it picked up the pace a little bit quicker. Those first two seasons were kind of slow, but I know seasons 3 and seasons 4, it got really, really good, and... to the point where it should have came back for a fifth season.
Yeah, see, I think you know, I will, you know, if I had to do this is hard to do, but if I had to do like a ranking, because I, look, for me, there's something about, I think, every Trek series that I could find enjoyable. Like, and I can always find something that I enjoy from each of them, right?
Right.
But if I had to do like a top five, ranking kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'd probably do. Mine would be Next Gen, Enterprise, original series, Voyager.
Okay.
I've done four, right?
Yeah.
And then,
don't say Picard.
No, Deep Space Nine.
Okay, that's a good pick. Oh, yeah, good pick. I was gonna have to revoke your Trek card.
No, the newer ones I have. See, I enjoy them, but like I'm talking about more like ones that like ones that have had their full run, right? Because I think you can judge those more accurately because they've had the full run, right? So you know the full intent of what they were trying to do and the goals they had set out. So that's what my criteria was for my top five. But again, like I said, I can find elements of each one of the series and even to an extent the movies and find something that I like from each of them. So for me, you know, the top five is just more of the overall series as a whole are the ones that stuck out. So what would be yours? And then after you give me your top five,
okay,
I want to know your favorite captain overall.
Oh, okay. So my top five, no secret here. The first one would definitely be Star Trek Voyager because, as I said, Netflix, like, I've gone through the entire series several times, maybe eight, over the course of the last 5 years. So I love Star Trek Voyager. Number two, I would pick definitely The Next Generation. Number 3 is the original series. Number 4 is Deep Space Nine. And number 5 is Enterprise. As much as I love Scott Bakula as Captain Jonathan Archer, I just felt like I don't know. I think maybe it was Trek overload at the time because Trek was so much in the marketplace at the time, and I just felt like when Enterprise came around, I was kind of burned out by it. So, yeah, I just feel like those are my top 5.
Awesome. So our top 5s are close.
Close.
They're in the ballpark to each other, so that's good.
Right.
But favorite captain, who would be your favorite captain overall?
Favorite captain. Again, and this is what you said earlier, each series brings something different to, as our good friend Isaac Frisbee would always say, adds to the tapestry of whoever character or whoever franchise, you know, each incarnation adds to it. So,
right.
So I'll say my favorite captain without any hesitation is definitely William Shatner. He was the first. He was the best. He was the one that was the original that blazed the trail for Kate McGrew and Patrick Stewart and Avery Brooks. And Scott Bakula. I mean, I saw in an interview when Scott Bakula got the job for Enterprise. I think it was on the Captain's documentary. If it wasn't for having Shatner and that reference of how a captain should sit in the chair and how a captain should act, he didn't know what to do. So yeah, I think the first is the best, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love... He's not my all-time favorite, but I love Kirk for sure. You know, you always need that sort of the torchbearer, the first one.
And
right
who doesn't love the overacting? My God.
Oh yeah, it's like I would have loved. Like
Spock.
I wish you could have got like a Star Trek and 1966 Batman crossover. I know it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But good Lord, that would have been a fantastic crossover. Imagine the two of them.
You know what I love is on YouTube, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has seen this clip in one way or another. Search on YouTube Kevin Pollak's impersonation of William Shatner. He is freaking amazing. He is so funny. So yeah, check that out.
Speaking of my dream kind of crossover between Batman 66 and Star Trek, the original series, we kind of did get that in Shatner was in a Batman 66 animated movie with Adam West before he passed away. So I did kind of get
that
back and forth between the two of them. And it was just as awesomely ridiculous as I thought it would be. But my favorite captain, I think, just because nostalgia and the first one that I saw and the first one that I grew up with has to be Picard. I mean, just...
Why Picard, Adam? Why?
He's got that... Maybe because he's English and he's got that you know, that the voice and the way he, you know, his posture, everything is very, you know, very... regal and, you know, very
it's the Brit. It's astute. The Brit.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's and it's the, like,
yeah,
and it just when it's like when he would say engage, just like you want to listen to that guy. Like if that guy gives you an order, you listen to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And whenever he would tell Wesley to shut up, I always got a kick out of it. You know, it was so. But yeah, I don't know. I just there was a. He was one of those guys that. You wouldn't think of him as, man, that guy's he's a cool dude, but yeah, he found a way to be, even though he was supposed to, you know what I mean? So I don't know, there's something about Picard that I really, plus Patrick Stewart for me is also a Professor X, so there's that dual kind of
right.
awesomeness going on. So
yeah,
he's just, because of that, and the first one I ever saw, and because he's cross-pollinated into the superhero world, I gotta give it I was almost going to call him Professor Xavier, but I got to give it to Picard. I'm going to mess those two up over the course of this podcast for sure. I'm going to do an amalgamation and it's going to be ridiculous, but it'll happen. And so what I want to do going forward is, you know, cover obviously the different series and the movies, and how I want to probably do it is maybe go through some of our favorite episodes from each and stuff like that. Of course, I'm going to have because if Sam is going to be the number one on this show, I got to find a Mr. Spock now to that likes Discovery and the newer Trek stuff to come into those when the time comes. But so I have my own little crew. And also what I'd like to do is explore some, you know, in addition to going through, you know, our favorite episodes from each series, also what I'd like to do is definitely also chronicle the animated series, because not many that I've come across have really touched on that. It's kind of like the forgotten.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've never watched the animated series at all. I haven't seen it at all.
It's got some interesting episodes in there. And I also want to go through some of the different comics that are in the Star Trek universe. Like, I really want to go through some of the crossovers, because I, you know, those crossovers are like fun what if that you'd never get to see on the show because of the nature of the shows. But, you know, they've done a Star Trek Planet of the Apes crossover, which would be fun to review and discuss. They did two Star Trek and Green Lantern series that were really fun. So, you know, I want to also cover those because, again, they're not as...
Didn't they do a crossover with the Transformers and the Next Gen?
They have, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was original series, though. I could be wrong.
Was it the original series? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of cool, those cool comics to cover. But also, there's one, I think it's called Year 5. So it chronicles the fifth year of Kirk and Crew's journey. You know, on their 5-year journey, so that'll be fun to look at. So I definitely want to look at, and that's what I think that the title of why I picked that title of the podcast is because it allows us to go through all the different mediums and really kind of sort of investigate and share our thoughts about. So that's what I want to do throughout the course of the podcast. Also, of course, we're going to cover when it does come around the new show, and if, you know, heaven forbid there's actual movie news,
right.
We'll cover that too.
We'll,
because, you know, this is part of the other podcast network, I'm gonna start taking bets on which movie comes first, the next Star Trek movie or the Flash movie. It'll be interesting to see which one kind of gets the theater first. So we'll take bets and we'll have audience polls on which one's going to come first, but we'll see. But yeah, so a lot of different things I want to do with the show, and Sam will be along for a lot of the ride. So and then the other guests I bring in to cover certain things as well.
Well, thank you for having me part of this ride. It's been a long time since me and you have podcast, so
yeah,
it feels good to stretch my podcast legs again.
We'll be doing more of it on both fronts, on the Star Trek front and the Superboy front, but that's for a different episode, different show. But it's gonna be a fun journey, and I hope that you guys will enjoy it and come along for the ride.
And before we get off here. Yeah. I always love this line from Star Trek Nemesis when Picard says to the crew, "We're truly sailing into the unknown." So, Adam, I'm honored that you asked me to come back and podcast with you, and you know, I hope Trek fans sail into the unknown with us as we go and look at all the different incarnations, past incarnations, and current incarnations of Trek. So thank you.
Well, you're the Will Riker of the crew, so you now have to. Judging from Picard, you have to make me some pizza. So get on.
Oh God.
Because that looked like pretty good pizza. I was hungry when I watched that episode,
Yeah,
or after I watched that episode.
that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. So we hope you'll enjoy it. My aim is to, you know, hopefully do this on a bi-monthly basis. We'll see how it shakes out and what kind of news we have and who what the guests we can line up are. So we'll play it by ear. But that's the kind of rough. The rough plan, but we'll keep you apprised. But we hope you enjoyed this introductory episode, and we hope you will come along on this journey into the unknown. And let's enjoy this strange new podcasting world for us that is the Star Trek universe. So let's have fun with it. But until next time, we hope that you have a wonderful day, and we hope that you will, in these tough times, remember to stay safe and live long and prosper.